The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today, coming to you from Todd Starnes' affiliate, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views, and as always, a privilege to talk to you in Starnes Nation. Todd continues his work spreading the good word in California. He's been at the West Coast Baptist College and the conference there all week, spoke there again yesterday, and is taking care of business there. He'll be back behind this microphone on Monday, but all is well. He is taking care of business there, and so therefore we get to take care of business here by you joining this coast-to-coast conversation. 844-747-8868 is the number. Again, 844-747-8868. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we're going to talk with one of the 10 governors who was at the southern border yesterday, demanding that President Biden take care of security for this nation. She's Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, my governor, and she'll be joining us just after the bottom of the hour to tell us about why these governors from all across the country have demanded that the administration do something. I think most of you listening understand this, but there are far too many in this country that don't understand how important the border issue is. There are some people who are just willing to say, well, I don't live in Texas or New Mexico or Arizona or California, so that's too bad for them, but it doesn't bother me. Well, it does bother you, because as these people come into the nation illegally, not only encouraged, but actively supported by those who want Democrats to control this nation, they make their way up into all of the other states. This government even flew illegal immigrants into various states like Iowa and Tennessee, for example, and then denied the fact that the flights had even taken off and landed, denied that fact to state officials of the states. You haven't heard much about that, but it's true. The government of the United States used planes to take illegals to states and then denied that it happened to the chief executives of those states. This is not how a representative republic is supposed to operate. This is Joe Biden's America. It is not our America. And so this southern border issue is not a southern border issue. It is an American security issue. And I'm so glad that at least 10 of our governors were down there yesterday, and there's a plan of what they think it will take, what this president needs to do. They're not holding their breath, by the way. He has ignored their requests for a meeting. He has not responded to their letters. And he certainly hasn't been to the southern border himself, has he? And when the vice president went to the southern border, she's the border czar, of course, but the czar, or I guess we used to say czarina. Well, in any case, the vice president couldn't be bothered to actually go to the border. She went to a border office inland where, well, there's nothing to see here. Of course not. You didn't go where the action is. Well, we'll get an update from Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. That comes up in less than 30 minutes. If you are with us for the whole 3 hours, or to encourage you to click on the podcast later, we will be talking with Sarah Westwood, the excellent reporter for the Washington Examiner, in our next hour. She'll talk about the political implications of all the shenanigans in Washington. It used to be that the Democrats were in a corner, but now Mitch McConnell has kindly let them out of the corner, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner next hour. Also, Rapid Response Director for the Republican National Committee, Tommy Pigott, will be along in the 1 o'clock Eastern hour, second hour of this program. And if you're around for all 3 hours, we hope that you are. Steve Dace of Blaze TV and co-author of the best-selling book, Faucian Bargain. They have a new chapter called Faucian Booster. Such clever titles. I'm jealous. Those are wonderful titles. He'll be along in the 2 o'clock Eastern hour, as will Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick. So all that and more, and you at 844-747-8868. Well, I had the privilege of being here behind this microphone on this radio program yesterday, and just as we were wrapping up for the day, came word that the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, was willing to play Let's Make a Deal. Now, some of you are familiar with the current Let's Make a Deal. Wayne Brady hosts that on TV. I don't have a chance to see that. I don't know what they do, but I'm old enough to remember Monty Hall doing the original Let's Make a Deal. And this is where you would have some options. Would you like to take the deal that's in your hand? Or would you like to go for what's behind curtain number two, for example? And if it was a good prize, like a brand new car or furniture or whatever, well, then the costumed contestants would be very happy. But sometimes it was a booby prize. Sometimes it was what they called a zonk. You know, like it might be a broken down vehicle. So, yes, it's a car, but it was like a 1942. To Studebaker. I don't know. Did they make Studebakers then? I have no idea. But you get the idea. And they would say, you got zonked. You came to play Let's Make a Deal, and you got zonked. So yesterday, as we were wrapping up shop in the 2 o'clock Eastern hour, Mitch McConnell came out and said, let's make a deal with Democrats. I got two options here. One, we Republicans will not stand in your way. No shenanigans here. No fancy legislative tomfoolery. You want to up the debt ceiling and do it through the hyper-partisan, highly unpopular reconciliation process. You go ahead, we'll let you do it. In other words, you want to hang yourself, we'll give you the rope. That's option number one. Option number two is we will agree to an increase in the debt ceiling, a certain amount of money for only 2 months, to, in essence, and this is what McConnell said in the news release that we shared with you yesterday, he was going to give Democrats 2 months to get themselves out of the crisis they created. Now, at that point, if you were with us yesterday, you will know that moments before McConnell issued that, and we talked about it, we had Montana Republican Senator Steve Daines on this program. And I specifically asked him about the debt ceiling. I specifically asked him if the caucus was going to remain firm and remain solid in making Democrats walk this plank alone. And he said, absolutely. We are totally on board. There is no light between us on this. We are going to remain firm. And no sooner did he hang up the phone than his majority leader, the leader of his caucus, cut the legs out from under him and every other Republican senator who had been dutifully going on radio and TV programs and telling constituents, this is where we draw the line. Democrats want to raise the debt limit? They're going to have to do it themselves. Mitch McConnell was firm and clear and consistent until he wasn't. That is no way to run your caucus. I dare say, if I'm looking at things correctly from the timestamp on these, a U.S. senator is on this radio program talking about holding firm at the very moment his leader sends out a news release giving up everything. Again, that's no way to run a caucus. Now, why did he do this? Well, probably beats me and beats most of us, but I kept thinking, there's got to be an angle. This is not his first day. There's got to be a trap that he's laying. There's got to be something that Mitch McConnell is doing. My thought was that he put forth a couple of proposals knowing that they would not be acceptable to Democrats so that he could say, well, we tried. We made them a couple of offers. We didn't just make them an offer. We made them two offers, perfectly reasonable offers, and they rejected them, and so they're the bad party. That's what I think he probably presumed would happen. Well, wasn't he surprised when Chuck Schumer said, okay, I'll take option two. Who got the zonk on this one? It wasn't Chuck. It was Mitch. So now, announced today with great fanfare, the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, says, hey, look, we have a deal for 2 months, and this is tremendous. This is how Washington works. Yes, it is. And that, my friends, is precisely the problem. This is how Washington works. And this is why we are in trouble. I don't know what was in Mitch McConnell's mind. It's been suggested to me that he was concerned that they might do a carve-out exception on the filibuster, and he certainly didn't want that. Maybe. There was the thought of, well, you know, the government's going to default, and we can't have that. We don't want to be blamed for it. In other words, we don't want to take a principled stand and stay with it for fear that, oh, it might not work out. I don't know. If somebody out there in Starnes Nation can tell me why Mitch McConnell did what he did yesterday, I'm all ears. 844-747-8868. I don't know why this one bothers me so much. Maybe it's because he made such declarative statements. You know, here's the line. You go do it yourselves. And obviously the White House was out of the loop because here's Jen Psaki out there at a briefing after the offer was made saying, well, this is not acceptable to us and we need Republicans to do much more and this is, we need to take care of it. Stop kicking the can down the road. All the while Chuck Schumer is sitting there saying, wait, shush over there at the White House. I'm liking where this is going. But here's the last thing before we take our break. If, in fact, Mitch McConnell honestly was trying to get along, what you don't want is to extend an olive branch to your opposition, have them then grab it and beat you over the head with it. And that's exactly what Senator Warren did. Senator Warren comes out and says, when asked about the offer, quote, McConnell caved. Unquote. That summarized it because, first of all, she's right. But second of all, it's what we were all thinking. So when you're trying to, I don't know what you're trying to do, if you're trying to get along with Democrats and you're giving up the farm so that they'll be nice to you, give up all your leverage because they'll be nice to you, and to have them then say, well, McConnell caved, that's the narrative now. Again, it's accurate, but usually it's not expressed in that direct a phrase. But boy, is it accurate. Again, Mr. Leader, if you want to come on this program and explain why you did this, I would love to hear it. And if anybody in Starnes Nation can figure it out, other than just another politician who's trying to keep his own comfortable lifestyle going, happy with being second place in a two-horse race, well, if you've got a better idea, I'd love to hear it. 844-747-8868. Again, I just cannot see how you do that to the members of your caucus. I just can't. I just don't understand it at all. 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com is the website. Please follow Mr. Starnes on Twitter and Getter at Todd Starnes. You can follow me on Twitter and Getter at Iowa Politics. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Short break, your calls on the other side. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now, click on the Radio Listener Specials. Get deep discounts on MyPillow mattress toppers, towels, and so much more. For example, Mike is offering a buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. Enter promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. We've got a couple of minutes before the bottom of the hour, and I want to spend them talking to Ronnie from North Carolina, listening on News Talk WSIC. Ronnie, thanks for taking time to call the Todd Starnes Show. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call, first of all. But I've wondered over the years now, and I just don't understand why somebody doesn't bring it up. How long are we going to keep extending this debt? Why are we not working a budget that will start chipping away at this debt? I just don't understand this. Any CEO in America would have been fired a long time ago for digging holes this deep.
How do you run your household budget? Do you just keep running deficits, and then when your banker wants to know when you're going to pay, do you go in and say, well, I've increased my debt limit?
Absolutely not. They would have my house, cars, and everything else, would they not? You know, my power would be shut off.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to do without. This country's going to have to learn. Our managers are going to have to learn. You just cannot live like this. I know they don't run their household like that.
No, certainly not. And they've never run a business several of them. There are occasional folks who actually know how to meet a payroll. But here's the answer to your question. It only stops when we insist it stops. It only stops when we say to our elected officials, I don't care how you got here. I don't care whose fault it is. You just need to stop spending money. They blame each other, don't they, Ronnie?
Absolutely. And it's been this way for years and years. And it's not, I mean, I've seen Republicans extend it just as well as Democrats, but it's got to stop. This can't go on. It can't go on. We've got to change, or we're not going to have a country to change.
Well, amen to that. What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a retired firefighter, but I'm also an electrical contractor. Retired. I went in the electrical business full time now. So
how easy is it? How easy is it for you to run your business with Washington and their rules?
That's getting tougher and tougher. It's there's so much work out there right now, and I just can't find help to do it. I have to turn things down because the help's not there. Sitting on the couch, or anybody that wants to work or is worth having already has a good job, and you can't, you know, I can't compete with an unlimited budget.
No, and that's what they have in Washington, and that's the whole point of your call. Boy, Ronnie, that is tough. As a business owner and running small businesses myself, you got to turn away business? Oh, that hurts. Everything he said, I'll just amplify it. Yes, it only stops when we say it stops. A break now. The Iowa governor, who was at the southern border, joins us on the other side. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show, Coast to Coast. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is the number to call. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But now we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're joined by the governor of the great state of Iowa, the Honorable Kim Reynolds. Governor, Jeff Stein here. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm great. How are you doing? Good to talk to you again.
It is excellent to talk to you, as noted. This is my governor that I'm talking to, and she spent yesterday at the southern border. All right, explain, Governor Reynolds, why you and nine of your colleagues were at the southern border yesterday.
Well, first of all, the horrific numbers that we're seeing come across the southern border. We're seeing record levels of drug trafficking, human trafficking, and it's not staying at the border. That is filtering out into all of our states across the country, especially when it comes to fentanyl and meth and just people in general. And the lack of this administration to step up and stop it, we believe they could turn it around tomorrow. They could bring a halt to this and start to secure our border and restore security and really end the crisis. And so 26 governors, over half the governors in the country, sent President Biden a letter and asked for the opportunity to meet with him and to sit down and talk about what we're seeing at the border and how that's impacting states across the country. We acknowledged that he was busy, but we asked if within 15 days he could at least give us some response and set up a time that we could meet. As of the 16th day yesterday, we had not even been acknowledged or received any response from him. And so we decided as governors, we came together and discussed what the federal government needed to do to stop the humanitarian and security crisis at the border. And we put together a 10-point policy plan that we talked about at the press conference yesterday that, again, the administration could implement tomorrow. It doesn't take an act of Congress. These are things that they can do, like fully reinstating the migrant protection protocols, which is the remain in Mexico, finish securing the border in the catch and released. I talked about as they're moving migrants and unaccompanied children into states, they need to be transparent about that, and they need to let governors know, because we ultimately become responsible for those individuals. And it's unacceptable that they are flying, for instance, in Iowa, in the middle of the night in April, we had 19 unaccompanied young minor girls that were flown into the Des Moines airport in the middle of the night. We had absolutely no warning, and then they were boarded on two charter buses, and we don't know where they went from there. And when we were made aware of this, we reached out to the administration to see if they were responsible for it, and they said they had absolutely nothing to do with it for over a month. They denied any involvement. We were concerned it could be human trafficking, so we used our own resources to continue the investigation. And ultimately, after weeks and weeks and various agencies of denying they had anything to do with it, they had to admit that it actually was them that brought those young girls into the state of Iowa, loaded them on a charter bus, and dispersed them we don't know where. And what's really concerning is you've also read that this administration has lost touch with one in three of the unaccompanied minors that they've dispersed throughout the United States. So, that's just one of the – there's 10-point policy solutions that we've made available for them that we think would really begin to end the crisis that we're seeing at the border.
Governor Kim Reynolds of the state of Iowa joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Thursday. I mentioned in the last half hour the story you just told so well, Governor.
But
this is the point. The reason why I mentioned it is because no one believes the story when I tell them, because they cannot fathom that a presidential administration would not only keep you as a chief executive of a state in the dark, they stonewalled and flat out lied to you and other governors for a period of time. That's unconscionable to me.
A month. And here's the deal. So I don't know if you talked about this too, but so we experienced this, and when we were talking about it, Tennessee, we found out, have experienced the same thing. And so I said yesterday, if Iowa and Tennessee is experiencing this, you can probably imagine that every other state in this country is also having people dropped off in the middle of the night. And it's just my number one priority is to protect the health and safety of the citizens that I have been elected to represent. And I can't do that when I don't know, are they COVID positive? Are they, you know, being sold into a sex trafficking ring? I don't know. We saw 14 to 17,000 people at, you know, at their Del Rio, and then the next night they were gone. Well, what did they do with 12,000 illegal migrants? You know, they're somewhere, right? And they can't even tell us a number. And we were with, we had the president of the Border Patrol Association with us yesterday for the briefing. He's been in that position for 25 years and said this is the worst he has ever seen it. And we know we're hearing numbers, large numbers of additional migrants that are making their way towards the southern border. And he said, until you change the policy, this is not going to, it's going to continue to happen. Because right now, actually, you know, what the Biden's failed policies are incentivizing the largest number of illegal crossings in 20 years. And that includes the largest number of unaccompanied children in the history. So if you're not following the laws, and if you're not doing things like asking them to remain in Mexico while you go through the process, the word on the street is, hey, if you get to the border, they're gonna, you're in, you've had it. You know, get across the, you know, get to the United States, and you're there to stay. And so it is really scary. We need people paying attention. We need to hold this administration accountable. You know, they've not even been down there. They questioned me about going down. And I said, you bet I'm going down, because I need to figure out what I can do to stop it there before it makes its way into Iowa. We also, in the briefing in the morning, the Texas State Patrol, the commissioner of the Texas State Patrol, showed us a map of where the cartel is sending the drugs. And, you know, with our location in the United States, we are a direct hub where they get it to Iowa and then distribute it to other states. And with Interstate 80 and Interstate 35, we are a direct route for them to traffic drugs and people. And so it does impact the state. And the other thing that we're seeing is the unconscionable amount of fentanyl that is coming into the country. Jeff, did you talk about the numbers that they confiscated earlier this year?
No, please do.
10,500 pounds. That's more than the fentanyl. That's more than the last 3 years combined. It takes 2 milligrams to prove fatal, and that is enough fentanyl to potentially kill 7 times the United States population. And every state that we talk to, so you're seeing an increase down at the border, and we're also seeing increased seizures within our states, and they're lacing it in various drugs. They're, you know, fake pills. I mean, they're really becoming very creative on how they're dispersing the fentanyl. We're seeing the same thing with methamphetamines as well. And it's deadly. It is deadly. And we need to put a stop to that. And we need to, you know, that's just what they seize. That doesn't even take into account what they weren't able to seize.
So to everyone listening in some area of the country that's not a border state and you think this does not affect you, the governor just laid out exactly how this affects every single American. And I know our time is short, so let me ask you finally, there's no vetting of these people. There's no vetting of the Haitians, those coming across the southern border from Central America, the Afghan refugees, the Afghanis. We hear that there's not the kind of vetting. So what concern do you have as the chief executive of a state that has handled COVID pretty darn well, thank you very much, about what this is doing to adversely affect the health and welfare of, as you said, the citizens you've been elected to protect and serve?
Yeah, so if you're talking specifically about COVID, what they're seeing down at the southern border, and again, they're just transporting in these individuals across the state. So they've seen about an 18% of the migrant families that are crossing the border are testing positive for COVID. 20% of the unaccompanied children are testing positive for COVID. They've had about 40,000 total positive cases. We know that the Delta variant is extremely contagious. And so as we're working diligently in all of our states to get things back to normal, you know, we took a fair and balanced approach over the year. We kept Iowa open. We put our trust in Iowans to do the right thing. They did. It's how we kept our economy moving. We kept our kids in school. We did it safe and responsibly. But, you know, as you're starting to work out of this, you know, that's not that's also adding another element to what we're dealing with in states across the country. And, you know, it's just a self-inflicted crisis. I think, Jeff, that's what's so disheartening. You know, to just stick your head in the sand and not acknowledge what's happening down there. People have seen the visuals. He needs to go down there and he needs to talk to the Border Patrol and understand when you're on that border, which I got to, we took the boat down the Rio Grande, and the expansiveness of the border and what they have to patrol. He should go down there and talk to them and see what they're up against and listen to some of the owners of the farmers, the ranchers, and what they're dealing with, and the law enforcement and what they're dealing with, to maybe get a better understanding of how important this is, the crisis that it truly is. And again, 10 things that he could do tomorrow that we believe would have a significant impact to ending this crisis, that we're, no matter where you're at in this country, I'm telling you, your state and Americans are going to be impacted by the drugs, the human trafficking, the guns that are coming across the border. It's serious. We need people paying attention.
You're not holding your breath on him going to the border, though, are you?
No. And that's why, you know, that's why I think it's going to be left up to the states to step up and do what we can, you know. But they need to dedicate federal resources to eradicate the human trafficking, drug trafficking. I'll leave you with one more statistic that was just mind-boggling to me.
Sure.
And this was in the briefing as well. So the Border Patrol president was saying that the cartel and the smugglers are making $400 million a month just moving people. And that doesn't even take into account the money that they're making on getting drugs channeled to communities and states all across this country. $400 million a month moving people across the border. Awful.
It is staggering. It is staggering. Mm-hmm. Governor, thank you so much for reporting back to us on this today. As a citizen of your state, thank you for going down there. And I was told today you're speaking at the Trump rally in Iowa on Saturday.
Yeah, we are. So, you know, it takes them a while to get there by the time everybody gets in. So they need people to get them rallied and fired up. And so we'll be doing our best to get them energized.
Governor Reynolds, thanks so much for the time. Have an excellent day.
Thank you. You too.
Governor Kim Reynolds of the state of Iowa, she, along with 9 other solid Republican governors at the southern border yesterday. Democrats criticized the trip. Obviously, Joe Biden has not gone down there. Kamala Harris hasn't gotten on a boat. I mean, Joe Biden's going to Chicago. He's going to the Illinois-Indiana border today, apparently. But Democrats criticized the visit by Governor Reynolds and others as political gimmickry that sidesteps actual solutions. I'm sorry, they brought a 10-step plan of how to do things today. That's not gimmickry. That is exactly actual solutions, but this administration wouldn't know actual solutions on this issue if it hit them in the face. But the Republicans had a 10-step plan of things that would indeed work. Governor Kim Reynolds of the state of Iowa, and we were hoping to have the governor on yesterday, but literally during this program, that's when they were on the boat. That's when they were doing all of the fact-finding. That's when they were doing all of this, and I appreciate that she took time to join us here on the Todd Starnes program. This is $1,000 Thursday, by the way. It seems like there ought to be some level of, some big announcer voice and music and everything, but this is $1,000 Thursday, part of our month-long effort on this program to support the Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment while you take a moment to call in and respond to what you just heard. 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls on the other side and tell you all about $1,000 Thursday. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast, and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. I'm Jeff Stein from KXEL Radio in Iowa, sitting in for Todd today. He'll be back with you on Monday. Well, this is Thursday, and it is $1,000 Thursday here on the Todd Starnes Radio program. I mentioned this again yesterday when I was here, but I was driving along listening to the program, I guess about a week ago thereabouts, and Todd was talking with Grace about starting this month-long effort to help the Alliance Defending Freedom. And as someone who has heard Todd talk to people from ADF Legal, and as someone sitting here who has talked to them at times, and as a lawyer myself, I know exactly how important this all is. So I want to tell you a little bit about what's being done here. And this is what's really good about it. You know, for this entire month of October, there is a concerted effort here on the Todd Starnes radio program, a campaign to support the mission of this tremendous nonprofit Christian legal defense organization. So here's what we're asking you to do. Go to toddstarnes.com, and right there on the main page, you'll see this banner for Alliance Defending Freedom. And we've been talking to you over time about people who have been impacted by this. Yesterday, we told the story of a church in Seattle that was forced to pay for abortions, of all things, all right? So you have heard from some of these folks, but today, let me introduce you to another person ADF is fighting for. You ready? It's you. It's that image in the mirror. They fight for you, and you don't even know it. This was so stunning. We talked about this yesterday. Todd talked about it the other day as well. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has directed the FBI and U.S. attorneys' offices throughout our country to, in his words, convene meetings and consider actions against people who, in Garland's words, pose a threat to public schools and local school boards. Domestic terrorists. No, they're you. They're parents who have been rightly showing up at school board meetings to voice concerns about race-based curriculums like what I call critical racist theory, as well as those vaccine and mask ordinances that are unconstitutional. But our attorney general believes that you exercising your constitutionally guaranteed free speech rights makes you a threat to these educators. Well, ADF is leading the fight against this outrage, and General Counsel Kristen Wagoner has just called on the Attorney General to rescind his order, taking politics out of the classroom and getting back to academics. So if you're a parent, ADF is fighting for your freedom. Go to toddstarnes.com and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom button. And again, it's $1,000 Thursday. I need, well, how about three of you to hop aboard and make a tax-deductible donation for $1,000. Could you do that? ToddStarnes.com. ToddStarnes.com. Jeff in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 100 excellent radio stations, and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today from my home base, Todd Starnes affiliate, News Talk 1540, KXCL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd continues his work out in California talking to groups, and this week at the West Coast Baptist College and the Leadership Conference, he'll be back behind the microphone on Monday. Jeff Katz will be here tomorrow. Hope you'll join the conversation. And we have a couple of callers. Please hold on the line, George. Please hold on the line, Janice. I'll get to you here in just a little bit. The rest of you can line up, and Miss Grace will take your call and put you in order at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. 8868. But let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, where we are joined by Sarah Westwood, the excellent politics and investigations reporter for the Washington Examiner. You can follow her on the Twitter machine at Sarah C. Westwood. Sarah, thanks for joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
So the Democrats were in all manner of disarray earlier this week. It seemed like they just couldn't organize anything. And then it appears to many of us that Mitch McConnell gave Senate Democrats a lifeline yesterday. Give me a sense of what I think is a roller coaster week. What's your sense?
Definitely has been a roller coaster, and I think there are a lot of fingers pointing at McConnell right now for caving to Democrats, if you want to characterize it that way, for helping Democrats out of a bind that was of their own making. You could make the argument, though, that this was a strategic decision on the part of McConnell, because all along, obviously, this was a messaging tactic. Republicans and Democrats, at least in the mainstream, generally support big spending and have historically generally supported raising the debt limit. So it's, you know, even McConnell in announcing his tactic of obstructing the Democrats' path to passing the debt limit increase had said that it's really important that it does get raised. So it's not that he's opposed to raising it on the merits. He really wants to tie Democrats to the increase in the size of the debt to their massive influx of spending that they're pushing. And it, to do that successfully, he has to force them to take a party line vote. And he's taken a weapon out of their hands now. They can no longer accuse Republicans of potentially forcing economic calamity. And they can no longer use the excuse that there's not enough time to get this done via reconciliation, via just purely Democratic votes. So now McConnell is setting them up for potentially an even greater embarrassment in December, because there is now no reason, procedurally or otherwise, that they can't get this done with just Democratic votes, which is what McConnell wanted all along.
You know, at first, when this came down yesterday, I was trying to figure out, okay, what's the trap he's setting for them? Is he boxing them into a corner? And that's very much what you were talking about there. But given how many Republicans were caught off guard by this, it would appear, I'm just not sure if he's now going to face a little problem within his own ranks, because, you know, we had a senator on this program yesterday who said, nope, we're going to hold firm. And literally, as he was telling us that, McConnell was issuing the news release. So I'm just wondering if he may need to take care of his own house for a little bit here.
He had certainly forced a type of lockstep on obstructing Democrats' ability to pass this. In a way that we don't really see on a lot of issues in either party. Neither party has been at lockstep on really much of anything in recent weeks, but McConnell had successfully corralled all his members, even the moderate ones, even the Mitt Romneys of the Senate, into not giving an inch on this. And so that it could potentially cause him some problems with members. But again, he really took a weapon out of Democratic hands here, because now all of the reasons they were using to not have to take a party line vote on this are invalid heading into December. And the real reason they don't want to take a vote on party lines is because they don't want to be the sole owners of the debt that is about to be massively increased by their spending bill. And McConnell has, like you said, boxed them in so that they have to own that increase in the debt and given Republicans a very tidy line to run on in the midterm.
The president has been going around the country, and I'm sure he'll make the same comments in Chicago today, saying this is about paying our obligations. This is about paying our old debt. This has nothing to do with new spending. That's not quite true, is it?
That's obviously the line that Democrats want, right? They want to make yeah. the argument that raising the debt limit is really just paying the bills for the increase in spending that occurred under the Trump administration. But there's no obscuring the fact that the policies that President Biden is pushing, the Democrats are pushing on Capitol Hill, will add significantly to the debt. They're not all paid for, even remotely paid for, the way that they're structured in the long term. And so what Republicans want is to really make that a Democrat-only problem. And it's why you see very few Republicans interested in supporting the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is a very big ticket spending item, and no Republicans supporting the reconciliation package, which is just an astronomical piece of legislation.
I want to turn to that next. Remind the audience we're talking with Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner here on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein sitting in for Todd on this Thursday. All right, so you've got this massive human infrastructure bill, so-called. You've got certain people saying $3.5 trillion is just the absolute lowest starting point that we can imagine. And then you've got people who say, what do you mean $3.5 trillion? You know, maybe I'll go $1.5, maybe $2 trillion. How do Democrats reconcile where this might end up without having some people just get mad and walk away?
This is why it is significant, and Democrats want to play it off as just part of the process, but this is why it is significant that they've blown through these deadlines and now really don't have a timeline for when they want to get this over the finish line. It's because the longer it takes, the less chance they will have for corralling support for something huge. The sides are so far apart here, as you mentioned. The moderates, including Senator Joe Manchin, want something in the neighborhood of $1.5 trillion, and progressives want the absolute minimum to be more than $3 trillion. And so one of the only things that was going to force those sides to make concessions and to meet in the middle was the pressure of a ticking clock. And now that Pelosi and Biden have turned that off, what are the incentives for the two sides to come together? They can both try to hold out as long as possible if there's no deadline for getting this passed. And I think that makes it a lot harder for Democrats to get a deal. Pelosi is smart. She knew that by setting up those deadlines, she made it a lot easier for both sides to, one, go back to their constituents and say, I had to make these concessions because the deadline was approaching, and two, you know, just to get all the members to the negotiating table. That looks like it's no longer happening at nearly the same pace, and so I think the Democrats are going to have a much more difficult time now that they're not aiming to get this done in any specific time frame.
Obviously, as you said, these elected officials come back to the districts, come back to their constituents to hear things, but some of them, Sarah, have made such strong statements. It's going to be hard to back away from it for some of these folks, I would think, because they certainly have not subscribed to the old Reagan theory of half a loaf is better than none. Going to be hard to save face, isn't it?
It is. But a lot of it, you know, depending on who it's coming from, is bluster, because at the end of the day, the two Democrats who are really going to be riding this bill are Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. No matter what passes the House, it's not going to become law unless those two Democratic senators sign off. And they know that. And I think that's why you see Senator Manchin holding relatively firm on that $1.5 trillion number. He knows that he has all the leverage and that House progressives, even though they successfully derailed the vote on the bipartisan infrastructure package, and even though they've successfully kept so far all of their pet projects in the legislation, at the end of the day, they don't really hold all the leverage. And so I think that is why you are starting to see the progressives soften on some of their stances, acknowledging that they may have to come down on the price tag, acknowledging that they may have to authorize some of these programs for shorter periods of time. They know they're not the ones who are really holding the reins here.
So as you look at how this might be resolved, focusing on Manchin and Sinema finally, someone said to me, why are you paying any attention to this? Because they'll just put something in the bill that's targeted to West Virginia. They'll put something in the bill that's targeted to Arizona. They'll do like they always do because they're politicians. Is this different than some of these past deals, or is the person who suggested that to me just overly cynical these days?
Well, first of all, I'm maybe perhaps the rare skeptic who, or cynic, I guess you would say, that I think that is kind of how the process is supposed to work. You know, the people of West Virginia, the people of Arizona, and every other state sends their elected officials to Washington to get stuff for their state. So, you know, sure, in that sense, they would be successfully representing their constituents. Yeah. But also, I think this is more ideological than just that. These two moderate senators have moderate constituencies, and they know that if they sign on to something with a huge price tag and something that contains an enormous amount of liberal policies that won't sit well with their constituents, that could be spell trouble for them when it comes to reelection. So this is a lot about survival and about their own centrist ideological beliefs, I think, more than any desire to get specific earmarks for their state.
Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner, thanks so much for breaking it all down. I appreciate it greatly.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner on the Twitter machine at Sarah C. Westwood. 844-747-8868. If you're on the line, please stay there. I'll get to you right after this break. The rest of you, there's an opportunity to call. 844-747-8868. Jeff Stein in for Todd today. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, folks. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He'll be back on Monday. 844-747-8868 is the number to call to join this coast-to-coast conversation. George is calling in from my home state of Iowa. Last hour, we talked with Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, who was at the southern border yesterday with nine other Republicans. George, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein here. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How is my fellow Iowan doing today?
Well, I'm better now that I'm talking to a fellow soul who knows what it's like to live in God's country. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just going to say, I totally agree with what the governor said. This administration needs to get this illegal immigration under control. The biggest reason is what she stated about the human trafficking. A lot of people know that that has a bigger implications than just people coming across their border. The other one is a drug. It's just a mess, and I'm really glad that our governor took the time to go down to the southern border to actually figure out the problem instead of going down to a safer part of the border and not really doing anything.
So what do you do for a living here in Iowa?
So I work for the government. I work for the roadside department here in county. So.
Okay. But, and the reason why I asked is because there is an impact of all of this. It's not just a matter of some people, in some cases, I suppose, it's people looking for a better life. But these days, these are organized efforts. It is a concentrated effort to run drugs, other illegality. So I asked just because I was curious as to what you might have seen in terms of how this is all playing out in a state as far away from the border as the great state of Iowa.
Right, right. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. So like what the governor said, Iowa is a very central state, and we branch out. We have highways and interstates that branch out. And like they say, every border for every state is a border state. It's just one thing after another, and a lot of these illegal immigrations have a bigger impact than what people realize, whether that be the drugs and the trafficking, in some cases job taking, elimination.
Sure.
Well,
George, thanks so much for the excellent insight and holding on the phone from the state of Iowa where it's kind of cloudy and drizzly today. I appreciate you calling the Todd Starnes Show. Janice is in New Orleans. Janice called us at 844-747-8868. Janice, what's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I am excellent.
Yes. Well, I hesitated. I went back and forth with myself. You know, do I call, don't I call? Do I call, don't I call? And finally, I decided to call. Here is the thing.
Yeah.
People are making the COVID situation political, as I have said before.
Yes.
And they don't want mandates. Well, they are bringing these mandates on themselves. And if I may, I'm going to mention a few things here, and I am asking, with all due respect to everyone out there who is hesitant or belligerent or whatever the case may be, please listen to me a moment. A woman lost two sons. Now, she was fully vaccinated. One gentleman was 41, another was 35. Now, that's very sad, and if she had not had the vaccination, perhaps she could have died too, as they lived together. A vaccinated woman lost her fiance and her 18-year-old son that was going to go into high school. He was going into his senior year of high this year. I just saw the other day a beautiful 15-year-old girl is dead. There was a 20-year-old girl, and in the hospital she's saying, Mama, I don't want to die. Well, unfortunately, she did. There's a 24-year-old father that died. And another guy, an unvaxxed father of three, died. Four orphans now. There's two 18-year-olds, a 16, and an 11-year-old that have no mom or dad. A woman lost six family members in Florida. Six people are gone now. One man lost his mother, his father, and his brother. Now, I am asking you people, how would you feel, really? Give this some thought later today. If any of that were you, really? Now, I understand. I am not stupid. I know that perhaps there are some cases whereby a person maybe can't get the vaccine for whatever reason. Maybe they shouldn't have it. And if any of you are worried about that type of a situation, please talk to your doctor, really, and have him check you out and see what he thinks. A lot of people, oh, I'm young, nothing's going to happen to me. Well, I have a neighbor over here, Keith, right mm-hmm. next door to me, a young man. He had the COVID. And he told me the other day, and this is a direct quote from him, you don't want it.
And we're going to have to stop there, Janice, because of time. Not because of what you're saying, but the clock is not on our side. I'll tell you the same thing, and it's an excellent call, Janice. You're very thoughtful about this. Here's the main point from my perspective, from where Jeff Stein is. This is serious. Take it seriously. Talk to your doctor and make a good informed choice. Another good informed choice is to stay tuned. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is the number. Margaret, if you could hold on the line, I'll get to you as soon as we can. But right now, we're going to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Standing by is RNC Rapid Response Director Tommy Pigott. Mr. Pigott, hello. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I was interested in something the Republican National Committee sent out, and it basically is saying, well, you may think their attempt to overrun state laws on elections and federalize the elections, you may think that's kind of on the back burner, but they're trying another approach. Give us the update, if you could, please.
Well, they're trying in every single way to get this through. I mean, famously, H.R. 1 is the first sort of massive bill they tried to force through. And then when that went stalled, they're kind of trying two different approaches. One is called H.R. 4, which basically would allow Democrats to, in a sense, backdoor the same provisions they want through H.R. 1 through something called preclearance, meaning every single state law that is passed, or in certain states at least, would need to be pre-cleared by the Justice Department before coming into effect. And we've already seen Biden's Justice Department taking political lawsuits on this issue, such as in Georgia. And then a second way is what they're calling a quote-unquote compromise bill, what we're calling the Freedom to Cheat bill, which is basically a watered-down version of H.R. 1, but watered-down isn't really even the right word, because it still contains the fundamental flaw of going after voter ID and trying to federalize elections. So really, these two bills are part of the same Democrat overall attempt to undermine election integrity, and the RNC is fighting back.
Okay, so let's talk about those ways in which the RNC is fighting back, and in particular, how listeners to the Todd Starnes Show can make sure your efforts to fight back are successful.
Well, I think one of the most important things is to stay up to date with what is all going on. And there's a few locations you can go to. The first is protectthevote.com. And on protectthevote.com, people can get updates on everything the RNC is doing, as well as information about, one, our efforts, but also some of the things we're fighting against. So, for example, the RNC is employing a year-round election integrity effort in several states. The RNC is engaged in over 20 lawsuits nationwide on the state level and other levels to try to make sure that we're fighting Democrat attempts to undermine election integrity. So viewers can, your listeners can go there and get all the up-to-date information. Another spot they can go is just gop.com/news and our gop.com website. And we're continually updating on voter integrity efforts and other efforts, more broadly speaking, to push back against the Biden agenda. And we have research pieces, blog posts, press statements, the whole nine yards in order to get up to date. And your listeners could also donate on that website. They can also get involved on that website so that they can volunteer and help us push back against the Democrats' radical agenda.
There are people, and I don't think they are the ones listening to this program. I think the people listening to this program understand this issue very well and understand what is puffery and rhetoric and what is truth. But for those who at times have said, oh, this is such a mess, all these states have their own rules, it'd be nice if we just had one set of rules so we could elect a president, et cetera, et cetera. Why is that short-sighted?
Well, it's massively short-sighted because for many reasons. One level is that the farther away your government gets from you, the less responsive it is to you. Just think about almost any issue in life, where if you're trying to go talk to the president of the United States, good luck. You're not going to be able to, right? But if you want to go talk to your mayor, you might be able to. So just think about how everything in your life was brought to the state level, federal level. You would be able to get almost no accountability or much less accountability than you can on your local level. So our federalism system allows states to have voting systems that can best respond to their populace, that can make it easy to vote but hard to cheat. And actually, we're seeing the majority of voters nationwide think that state legislators should be the ones deciding their voting rules and regulations for their state. 68% of voters believe that. So the Democrats' attempt to make this a federal system, to have a federal takeover of U.S. elections, is unpopular. And that's why they're having such a hard time, I believe, in passing their federal takeover, because the American people don't want it. They want common sense voter integrity measures like voter ID. They want state legislators to decide the voting rules. They don't want ballot harvesting. So on all these different levels, the American people don't agree with the Democrats' attempts to have a federal takeover of our election systems.
It also occurs to me that if they did do some sort of federal rule, those are always created with coastal big cities in mind, right? It's not, they don't think about we in the heartland. They don't think about people in states that actually have a rural area to them. They only think about a one-size-fits-all approach that works, but it's with the mindset of big cities and not individual states and localities. And so to have that national power overriding what is in the best interest of individual voters in states, it's just a recipe for disaster and a recipe for big government knows best when they rarely do.
I think you're exactly right. And we see that on issue after issue with the Democrats, where they are prioritizing the interests of special interest groups, of their big money donors, over the interests of the American people, especially the American people in states that didn't vote for them. And that's part of the reason why we have a federalism system where states can best design systems that work best for their populace. And then on top of that, with a lot of these voting rules that the Democrats want to implement, they've been tried in several of these liberal states, and they've been a disaster. We've seen many of these initiatives that have undermined voter integrity, undermined confidence in election systems, and they want to nationalize many of the worst elements that liberals haven't been able to enact in some of these states and force them upon states that don't want them. So really, states and the populace living in those states should be able to determine their own election systems, their own voter integrity measures. And in general, by a vast majority, the American people support common sense voter integrity measures that make it hard to cheat and easy to vote. And that's what the RNC is fighting for.
Remind us again of where people can go to get more information or help support the cause.
So the two best places to go, protectthevote.com. That's our website dedicated to all of our efforts to fight for voter integrity and improve confidence in our election systems. And then gop.com or gop.com/news. That's where you can get involved. You can find out information, the whole nine yards. Those are the two best places to go.
And they're pushing forward on this sort of, it seems to me, more of with the fog going on about, well, reconciliation and debt limits and spending and all of these huge bills. And while we're all watching that, they're kind of sneaking it through the back door. This could even come to the Senate within the next week.
Yes, it's really, it's kind of, in many ways, this entire administration has been defined by chaos and by breaking news of one bad thing after another that is terrible for the American people in terms of the crises that Biden has created. But even in all that, even as Biden pursues a socialist agenda, even as the border crisis rages, even as Afghanistan has fallen to the Taliban and the terrorism threat is reconstituting, the Democrats are still pursuing their efforts to undermine voter integrity. They're still pursuing their freedom to cheat bill. They're still pushing these initiatives. But I rest assured the RNC is not letting them go by behind doors, behind closed doors. We're going to put a spotlight on it. We're going to fight it. We're going to message against it. We're going to be engaged in lawsuits at the state level and federal level where necessary. We're going to be involved in making sure that Democrats cannot sneak this through. We're going to do everything in our power to make sure that Democrats don't get away with undermining election integrity.
Good luck with these efforts, Mr. Pigott, and thanks so much for sharing the information. Keep us posted, please.
I will do. Thanks for having me.
Republican National Committee Rapid Response Director Tommy Pigott joining us live on the Todd Starnes program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and you can join the conversation at 844-747-8868. That is the number that Margaret used to call us from North Carolina, where she listens to this program on News Talk WSIC. Margaret, thanks so much for taking time. Jeff in for Todd. How are you this day?
Well, I'm great. I hope you are as well, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I actually could speak on three things, but first of all, with all respect to Ms. Janice and others who feel the vaccine is necessary, I am a caregiver, and both of my patients have COVID, and they are getting better, but they didn't go to the hospital. One's 86, the other's 54, and they've been treating it with hydrochloroquine and ivermectin, a Z-Pak, and they're taking the zinc and vitamin C, vitamin D, and COVID is terrible, but they are getting better. And especially the 86-year-old, you know, he's got one kidney and he's doing all right. He's on the rise. So if it's 99.9% survival rate, why do we need a vaccine? They haven't ever required that for the flu, and the flu kills just as many. Also, there are a lot of comorbidities along with this that cause people to pass away. Why would the government limit the use of hydrochloroquine and ivermectin and not really teach the hospitals how to treat patients correctly? And why would they threaten to fire doctors who don't push the vaccine? It just all doesn't make sense. There's so many things a person can do to help themselves, but the government hasn't pushed becoming healthier, eating healthier foods, not processed, losing weight, exercise, more liquids. I mean, there's so much that can be done to help people get better. And I just don't understand. It just doesn't make any sense to mandate a vaccine, especially one that's still in clinical trials. And it's with this mRNA, and that's modified, or is it genetic? I'm not sure exactly how to call it, but it's not, they've never really tested this before. It's never been successfully come out on the good end, if they have tested it in prior time. So it's just, there's just a lot of ifs to take the vaccine, and people are dying from the vaccine.
Well, now here's the thing. And first of all, Margaret, I want to make sure that our prayers are there for the people you care for as they are fighting this disease. All right. There is no doubt that this disease is real. Right. There is no doubt that this is something we've never seen before. But here's what I find interesting, because I've had the same experience on my radio program in Iowa. I had a doctor on who does not believe in masks. He, in fact, even says you might as well try to contain mosquitoes with a chain-link fence as opposed to one of these masks. He also says if you're above 70, you should get the shot. If you're healthy and, you know, 25, maybe not, you should consult your doctor. I mean, all of these things that to me sounded like common sense. But I've taken the position, I know Todd has a different view. And Margaret, we're going to be up against a break, so thank you so much for the call. And you can still listen here as I finish what I'm going to say. But, you know, my feeling is it's not my place to tell any of you what to do for a medical decision, right? That's why you have a doctor, all right? Todd has been very clear about telling you what happened to him. And our prayers are with him on full recovery from the adverse reaction he had to the shot. I'm not telling anybody on the radio what I did do or didn't do because you don't know my medical history. And I don't want to improperly skew the conversation. But as I started to say, I had a doctor on the program who did not exactly toe the party line. And immediately I heard from the two big hospital chains here in the area. You might as well call one Burger King and one McDonald's because it's that kind of thing. And they immediately wanted to have their own messaging on. Well, that's my job, I think, is to bring all these voices to the table so you can make a conscious decision in consultation with your medical care provider, with your doctor, with your team. But to answer your question, Margaret, about I don't know why they're doing this, I'm just going to throw this out there. There are a lot of people who want one-size-fits-all medical care. There are a lot of people who want socialized medicine. And if we all just kind of go along like sheep to get this vaccination because it's a special situation, they're setting a precedent for one-size-fits-all medical care. And so then the next time that they want to do something that is forcing us to all have the same kind of treatment, regardless of pre-existing conditions, etc., natural immunity, any of this, they're going to say, well, look, we've done this already. We did it with the jab. So in other words, you have to always be careful about government using an emergency to do something that we don't really fight too much against, because what they're doing is laying a precedent for the next thing, and pretty soon, guess what? We are sliding down what we in law school were taught was called a slippery slope. Margaret, thanks so much for sharing your information and your insight. And again, our prayers to the people you care for there in North Carolina. Todd Starn says this is $1,000 Thursday. He is asking at least three of you good people to get to toddstarns.com right now, and each of you make a tax-deductible donation to the most worthy cause, ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom, and make that donation for $1,000. That's how we get to the $1,000 Thursday. This is a month-long campaign that this radio program is a part of to help ADF fight for you. Go to toddstarns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and join the campaign. The Alliance Defending Freedom, a wonderful nonprofit Christian legal defense organization. Could you donate $100? That's good. Could you donate $1,000? Be one of these $1,000 Thursday individuals? That'd be even better. Open your heart, open your wallet. Go to toddstarns.com, click on the ADF banner right there on the main page, and donate to the Alliance Defending Freedom Freedom Fund. If you prefer to use the phone, that's okay as well. 855-716-7461. Again, that's 855-716-7461 to help the Alliance Defending Freedom. Right now, they're fighting Merrick Garland, who wants to have you as parents going to school board meetings. He wants you to be declared to be domestic terrorists. That needs to be stopped. ADF is working to stop it, and you can help them in the fight. Go to toddstarns.com and click on the ADF banner to make the donation, or call 855-716-7461. We thank you mightily for all of that, and we thank you for staying tuned. Back in a few moments, I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, and I got a tremendous night's sleep last night. Didn't feel like enough hours, but I still felt very rested when I woke up, and you know why? Because I have a MyPillow. Completely changed how I sleep. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Specials button. Deep, deep discounts on mattress toppers, towels, and all of the MyPillow products. For example, Mike Lindell offering a buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Specials for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. But you need to enter promo code STARNS. That's how you get the best deal. Enter promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 for these deals. That's 800-839-8506. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS. Two down, one to go. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Hour three of the Thursday Fun Fest comes up. Thanks for hanging out with us today. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to this third hour of the Thursday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on more than 100 tremendous radio stations, and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein. Greetings to you, fellow patriots, coming to you from News Talk 1540 KXEL, Todd Starnes' affiliate, in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America. With accurate news and reasonable views, Todd is spending this week out in California. He did some broadcasts there from the West Coast Baptist Church and the leadership conference going on there, but he is participating in the conference, also doing some speaking appearances, and will make his way back to the Mighty 990 in Memphis in time for Monday's program. It's been a privilege for me to be here a couple of days this week. Jeff Katz will have the chair tomorrow. Love to hear from you folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up in this hour of the program, in about 10 minutes, we'll speak with the Blaze TV host and best-selling author Steve Dace. You may recall I spoke with Steve on this program earlier this year about his book, co-authored with Todd Erzin, called Fauci and Bargain. Well, they have a brand new chapter that is available at Amazon called Fauci and Booster, because, you know, we got to get the booster these days. Well, not all of us have to. Well, in any case, it went right to number one as well. And Steve Dace will talk to us about news of the day, including Fauci and Booster, the new book. And then just after the bottom of the hour, we'll speak with Florida Representative Kat Kamick. And I want to talk to her about issues of importance like the budget and the border, but also some heartland issues like agriculture, because she has some unique insight on that. And many folks need to know about what some people in Congress, through their ignorance, what they are proposing that could adversely affect the food supply in this country. And we'll talk with Congresswoman Kamick about that after the bottom of the hour. In our last hour, and I know this breaks radio rules because, yes, it's a three-hour show, but people listen to hours at a time. So I'm not supposed to talk about one hour to the other. But if you missed any of the show, just go to toddstarnes.com later today. Click on the podcast link. You'll go to the Salem podcast page. You can listen to the show. You can download it. You can share it. Do all of those things. So if you ever miss any of it, you can get it there. But Margaret called in from North Carolina and was talking about how you should be healthy. You know, this is one way to help ward off disease generally. You know, let's talk about fitness. Let's talk about eating right. Let's talk about these things. Very, very wise idea. there's a thing that, your state may have. It's a national effort that has various forms. The Healthiest State Initiative, the idea is that the state gets behind things like walks, and here's how you can be healthy by X number of steps a day, and all of these things. I would know much more about it if I cared about my personal health, but clearly I don't. Well, in any case, yesterday, literally two blocks from where I'm sitting, there is a plaza here in downtown Waterloo, Iowa, and that is where the local Healthy Estate Walk was taking place. And my radio station, KXEL, was the media sponsor, and I was going to hang out there, but then I had the wonderful opportunity to be here, and so they were easily able to soldier forth without me. But here's what I found interesting, and I'm not being critical at all. Maybe it was a test for willpower, but it's called the Healthy Estate Walk. And they had some food trucks, you know, and vendors and music and all of this. It was a real fine little party atmosphere. But as I was driving to work to do my show yesterday before I did this show, they were setting up the food trucks, and outside one of them was a sandwich board that said, mini donuts available. Now, I loves me some mini donuts, but last I knew, mini donuts are deep fried dough. In most parts of the country, certainly where I grew up. I don't know that I would have put that on the fitness side of the ledger. I was then told there were also a couple of different barbecue. I'm not sure. Is that health food? If you could declare barbecue to be health food, all right, now I'm on board. Now I'm absolutely on board. Todd was kind enough to have me as a guest the other day, and I got in trouble about barbecue, so I'm not going to talk anymore about that. Here's something I am going to talk about. I mentioned I work for a radio station here in Iowa, and we put a poll question up, and I would like you folks in Starnes Nation to weigh in on this poll question. I put this up last week, and I need to refresh it, but before I do, I'd like to get your thoughts. Here's what you do, if you would, please. If you go to my station's website, which is KXEL.com, KXEL.com, and dancing across the main page, you'll see a banner ad for the poll question of the week. And I thought it'd be interesting to more accurately name the Biden administration's Build Back Better proposal. I don't think Build Back Better is an accurate name. It's also just a horrible name for anything. Build Back Better. That means nothing. So we have some options there, and I'd love to have you weigh in. So it costs you nothing. Just go to your computer, KXEL.com, and click on the poll question. Here are some options I proposed. Instead of Build Back Better, it could be redistribute revenue riches. Redistribute revenue riches. My favorite is Congress cons citizens. See, these all have to have alliteration, right? How about Pelosi purloins profits? Certainly she does that. Marxists misappropriate money. Or perhaps tapping taxpayers' treasure. These are all, I think, much more accurate names for Build Back Better. But there's also an option if you think that's a good name. You can vote for that, too. If you go to my station's website, KXEL.com, and look for the poll question of the week. And I'd love to hear what America thinks on that topic. 844-747-8868 is the number. And we'll get to your calls later this hour. But after this break, Steve Dace of Blaze TV will join us live coast to coast. Jeff Stein in for Todd today. Thank you for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast, on more than 100 tremendous radio stations and streaming online at toddstarnes.com. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Thank you for being along. Let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're joined now by Steve Dace. He is the host of the appropriately named program Steve Dace on Blaze TV, and he and Todd Erzin are the co-authors of the best-selling Faucian Bargain, and now Faucian Booster. Steve Dace, thanks for taking time to join the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
I'm well, Jeff. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. So you and I spoke earlier this year on this program about Fauci and Bargan. Now, because according to Dr. Fauci, everybody needs a booster, you thought the book needed a booster. Tell us about that.
Well, the book stops when the vaccine rollout begins. There just wasn't any real-time data yet, and frankly, we just don't trust self-reporting global conglomerates to tell the truth. There was an incredulously and tragically hilarious story last week. Remdesivir, you know, you and I both are from Iowa. The University of Iowa tried to use remdesivir at the University of Iowa Hospital this summer, and what they found is that when it wasn't working, it was actually prolonging hospital visits. It's a garbage drug, and they put out a survey to send to the FDA wanting expanded authorization on the grounds that their internal data shows it limits hospitalizations. Here's the thing they don't tell you. You actually have to go to the hospital to get remdesivir. So there's that. Okay. So, I mean, this is what happens when, you know, these things, when you have fascism, when you have corporate America, big government, big business in bed together, you get stuff like this. So we didn't trust just any of the real-time human trial data that was coming out. We just wanted to see what it looked like, you know, when they administered it to the general population. Sure. And for the first several months, it looked really good. And then the more that the virus is mutated, and now since Delta variant, the efficacy numbers are collapsing in real time. That's why they're demanding third boosters. Israel is now telling people that if you had both shots of Pfizer without a third booster, you're still not vaccinated and cannot do indoor events. And so we decided, given this really unprecedented in the history of the West, outside of places like, you know, Mussolini's Italy and Nazi Germany, this unprecedented attempt at authoritarianism, we decided it was time to address that with Fauci and Booster. It's a bonus digital chapter. You can get it right now at Amazon. Download it. It's very inexpensive, and it helps you make the argument against vaccine mandates.
Steve Dace joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. I had occasion on my program in Iowa to talk to a doctor who's not affiliated with one of the large hospital chains.
So someone 30, can tell you the truth.
And did. Yep. Right down to the point of saying wearing a mask is like trying to corral mosquitoes with a chain link fence. Okay.
Yep.
And he has it. He says older people should get it, et cetera, et cetera. Well, lo and behold, within days, the Burger King and McDonald's of the world in hospital systems, you would know the names being in this state, they immediately wanted to tell a different story. And, of course, they just told the story that is the party line from Washington. Now, I believe in second opinions. I believe in going to different doctors and having a variety of voices. Is it all money that is leading to this? We don't want Steve Dace to tell the truth. We don't want these other doctors to tell the truth. This lockstep, mindless, one-size-fits-all?
There's three motivations, I believe, at play here. The first, okay, which I think is, in terms of percentage, the smallest one, but it's the notion of a noble lie. It's the idea that we tell you things that we know aren't true, but we think we need to tell you things to get you to do the things that we think you need to do to help yourself. Okay? So mm-hmm. It's the idea of a noble lie. I think that's been some of what's gone on for the last 18 months. I think that might have been a lot of what was going on at the outset of this. But the more and more the data has come out, the less and less that benefit of the doubt, I think, actually applies. The other two motivations are just good old-fashioned greed, as you just asserted. But then I think there's a larger scheme at play here. This is an opportunity, and I know a lot of people in an audience like Todd's are going to get used to phrases, or very familiar with phrases like the Great Reset and things of that nature. This is the largest attempt at an authoritarian takeover of a culture without tanks or soldiers in the streets in the history of our species. There's never been anything like this. This is the greatest infringement on liberty within the North American landmass that we live since Pearl Harbor. There's never been anything like this. Most of this audience wasn't alive for any of that. Most Americans weren't. This is unprecedented. We are debating whether or not you can breathe freely. We're now, Jeff, you and I are now the people trying to get the kids back into the schools after trying to empty them for 50 years, okay? The basic notions of freedom, far beyond what the 5,000-year-old miracle of our Constitution quantified. just basic notions of what makes a free person. Can I breathe? These things are now under negotiation. These things are now under a hostile takeover. And that's because there are forces that have long wanted to introduce an alternative paradigm into the American jet stream trajectory, and they needed an excuse to do it. And this virus has provided them. And you're watching them pounce in real time. And it's why, you know, you and I, Jeff, have, you know, we come from a state that knows a lot about politics with the caucuses. In the past, if a president saw he had an approval rating at 38% 1 year into his administration, and that's before inflation is already worse but gets really bad, that it's on the road to get to now. And some of the leading indicators we see now are still not yet fulfilled. They might have, you know, figured out, how do I moderate my message? How do I appeal to more people? This is not a palatable approval rate. Instead, they're tripling down, quadrupling down, quintupling down. Why? Because this isn't about politics, all right? This is about something spiritual and cultural. This is an open attempt to take over your culture without having to have a shot fired. And that's what's happening in our midst right now.
Steve Dace of Blaze TV, co-author of Faucian Bargain and Faucian Booster, joining us on the Todd Starnes program. I suggested an hour ago when one of the callers said, I don't know why they're doing this, why they're forcing this vaccine. In addition, Steve, to everything you just accurately stated and well stated, this is the idea of one-size-fits-all medicine, and if we all go along with the jab, then that gives them the precedent they need so that we don't resist on something even more nefarious moving forward.
The mask mandates were to condition you for vaccine mandates. Yeah. Vaccine mandates are to condition you for no bodily autonomy at all. And that when then once as a people you have surrendered your body, you have given over your bodily autonomy, you are essentially given over, period. You're a subject, not a citizen. You're a commodity, not a person. And that's what this is about. These sorts of one-size-fits-all solutions, the idea of, you know, once monoclonal antibodies, that's why it's not just greed. Monoclonal antibodies is a big pharma product. Probably saved President Trump's life about this time last year.
Yes.
But once Ron DeSantis started making it portable and most people began finding out about it, even though it had been available for 9 months, now they want to ration it. Why? Because if I get the monoclonal antibodies and now we have an early treatment that is available, then I maybe don't have to get your vaccine. I have an option, and so I can opt out of your system, and therefore I opt out of your control. This is all about power and control. Marxists only do things for two reasons, power and control. That's their motivation for everything. Everybody in an audience like this, you need to come to grips with the fact that people behind this have no interest in sharing a country with you. They will not accommodate your belief system on any level, one way or another, to the point of denying you oxygen to breathe and a job to provide for yourselves. You better come up with some solutions where you're willing to peaceably confront them beyond, I'll just hang out for the next midterm and then help Mitch McConnell cut another debt ceiling deal, as he did today, to save Chuck Schumer's bacon. Or I'll wait for almost 80-year-old Donald Trump to try to get elected president again 3 years from now. You won't have a country 3 years from now. We are debating things right now that if we went back 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and said, this is the stuff that's going to be in mainstream news, we would have had you, you know, in a padded room, you know, in a straitjacket. These are the headlines today. This thing is decelerating fast. People need to come to grips with it and realize the stakes we're playing for here, Jeff.
In our remaining, I'll say, 30 seconds, Steve, and we've heard different views on this program alone about the McConnell move. I say he cut the legs out from under his caucus and caught them flat-footed. There are others who say, well, he's got the Democrats kind of where he wants them in a corner.
Yeah.
Help me out here.
Those are people that when they tweet or when they send out a story, they're just paid stenographers of the Republican establishment and Mitch McConnell. The Democrats couldn't manage their own caucus. They were going to have to shut down the government because they've out-radicalized their own caucus. And McConnell came in and saved the day. Why? Because these people that run this party, they like Democrats more than us. And that's another thing we just have to come to grips with and stop lying to ourselves about.
Steve Dace, Blaze TV, and Fauci and Bargain, Fauci and Booster, the new chapter. Thank you, sir, for the time. I appreciate it as always.
You bet, Jeff. Thank you, man. Take care. God bless.
Steve Dace, tell me how it gets any better than that. Well, we'll talk. We'll try to make it better than that. Kat Kamick's pretty good. She's a Florida congresswoman I've talked to on this program before, and she's coming up after the bottom of the hour break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thank you for being along on the Todd Starn Show. Starn Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today while he's taking care of business and speaking to folks in California. It's been a privilege to be with you yesterday and again today. As always, Jeff Katz is here tomorrow. Mr. Starnes is back on Monday. Had someone message me and say, don't you have podcasts or things? Yeah, I do. Go to totallyiowa.com, totallyiowa.com. And there are links there to the three daily podcasts that I do because apparently I have no other life. And you can subscribe to them on all the major podcast distributors. Wherever you get your fine podcasts, as Wyatt Cox of the Nevada News Network says, wherever fine podcasts are served, or just go to totallyiowa.com. We are going now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're joined by someone I had the privilege of speaking with on this program one other time. She is Congresswoman Kat Kamick from the state of Florida. Congresswoman, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you doing? And three podcasts? What's going on with you, man?
Yeah, no life. No absolute life. But it's still an easier schedule than a member of Congress. You were even in my state of Iowa not long ago, as I recall.
Yes, yes. I was out there. A few months ago, I was supposed to be out there actually this week, and unfortunately, we lost one of our police chiefs unexpectedly, and it wasn't right if I hadn't been there for his family and the department, so I had to postpone my plans to Iowa this week, but I look forward to rescheduling for later in the year to be back out in the great state of Iowa.
Well, you're welcome here anytime. I want to talk about some things that are of interest to people in the heartland. And when I say heartland, Todd and I have talked about this on the radio before. I'm not just talking about a geographic area. I'm talking about a mindset here, okay? Were you part of the Ag Committee hearing today on the cattle industry?
Actually, I just hopped off the hearing to do the interview just now, okay. And I've got to jump back on when we finish.
Okay, talk about, there are people who go to the store. I don't care if it's a Piggly Wiggly, a Kroger, a Hy-Vee. They go to the store and they say, wow, how come beef costs so much? And they must think the producers are doing very well, but I know they're not doing very well. You know they're not doing very well. What are you going to do to try to make it a better way of life for the producers and the consumers?
Well, we're going to get government out of their way. That is the short answer of how we are going to really have agriculture moving forward be productive and secure and efficient. The more intervention that we have from government, the worse it will be for producers, for processors, for packers, and consumers. And we're seeing right now, certainly through COVID, where our producers, they have hung tough. They have continued to deliver to food banks, to producers, and really make sure that people have meals at the end of the day on the table. And that's in spite of tremendous overreach from the government through regulatory environments, taxes, competition from foreign governments that subsidize their ag industries. Across the board, our agricultural industry is under constant assault. And so today was the first hearing that we have had this year that dealt with production agriculture. And it was talking about the state of the livestock industry. So whether it's pork or poultry or the beef cattle industry, we have real challenges. And right now, Secretary Vilsack, who is the secretary of the USDA, that is his new role now. And he's talking about trying to increase government meddling in transactions into the beef market. That will cause unnecessary litigation. That will cause an increase in price for consumers and a reduction in choices for consumers. We've also talked about the threat that the African swine flu presents that's coming over through our open porous border unchecked. No one is checking for COVID, much less African swine flu. And so this presents a real threat to our agricultural industry. And of course, we have a litany of positions that haven't been filled in this new administration, the FSA offices, which are critical in every single state across the country. And you throw that on top of a threat of an increase of taxes through the doing away of the stepped-up basis and the reintroduction of the death tax. The family farm is under assault, and then we got to get real serious about thinking of agriculture as national security. A nation that cannot feed itself is not secure.
Especially because those who intend to do us harm know that, and they are targeting those industries, including buying up our farm ground, these large conglomerates that have engaged in monopolistic practices, packing houses, particularly in the beef industry, etc. The 3rd Congressional District of Florida is lucky to have Congresswoman Kat Kamick represent them. We're lucky that she's joining us right now on the Todd Starnes program. How do you help others understand? Because when I talk to the members of my state's delegation, they say, look, the folks in the big cities in the East and the West, they don't understand where food really comes from. And they figure if you just start throwing some death taxes in on farms, well, farmers are rich, they'll be able to pay them. That's going to put the family farm out of business the way they're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a real challenge. I mean, even in a state like Florida, where the number one economic driver in 2020 was agriculture. And, you know, we're known for our tourism. We're known for Disney World. We're known for our, that hospitality. Agriculture continues to be a one or two economic driver in our state. And we still have school field trips where kids go to Publix, which is our grocery store, and they think that food comes from Publix. And so we have a real problem in educating the general public about why it's so important that we have a safe, efficient, productive food supply. And that's why I'm saying we need to start thinking this and couching it in terms of national security. If we can't feed ourselves, if we're reliant on foreign imports for produce, that is a danger to our nation. And you look at what's happening, for example, I'll use Iowa as an example. So in the Biden administration's latest plan to eliminate the stepped-up basis, that would mean that in Iowa, a typical family farm, which is about 300 acres, give or take, that family farm would have an increase of $675,000, probably $750,000 in taxes on top of what they are paying. That for a small family farm, typically a multi-generation farm, that will absolutely kill them. You cannot survive that, because what people don't realize is farmers and ranchers, they're subject to market prices. They don't arbitrarily set what they get paid for their goods. They are subject to the marketplace. So they can't say, well, I just grew a bunch of, you know, onions and I'm going to charge $8 a pound. There's no way. They are locked into contracts well in advance of when they harvest. And that's how that is processed. That process works. And you hear all the time, oh, well, they're rich. Well, they're land rich, cash poor. I dare anyone to challenge me on that. Many of our producers, they have a tremendous wealth in terms of land, but they are not very flush with cash. That's just not the nature of agriculture. And when you look at the foreign influence and what's happening, you know, a great example is Smithfield. Smithfield was bought out by the Chinese. Every time you go into the grocery store and you pick up a pack of bacon, that is a Chinese product. That is something that we cannot allow to happen when we have our adversaries who want to continue to dismantle who we are and what we stand for in the world as Americans. They're seeking to undermine us through every single means necessary. And agriculture is one of those main critical infrastructure sectors that they are looking to take us out through. So whether it is foreign competition, an unfriendly regulatory environment, say through Waters of the U.S., which deems any seasonably wet piece of property is subject to federal Army Corps regulations, which, again, I'm from Florida. My front yard would then be subject to federal intervention and Army Corps navigation standards. That is just the kind of stuff that we've got to be mindful of. And, again, you've got agriculture that these folks are the original conservationists, people who want to take care and do take care of the environment because it's their life's blood. So we need to really step up and have their backs because whether it is good weather, good markets, bad markets, COVID-19 or anything else in between, they've always produced, they've always managed to get products down to the family table. And that's why we've got to step up and really start educating the public about this.
Okay, so what confidence do you have, and I guess it's a two-part exit question, what confidence do you have that the American people are picking up on this? And secondly, what do you think that this administration is going to wind up doing, given the actions they've taken so far on, quote-unquote, security issues?
Well, I can tell you right now, everyday constituents of mine and folks that I hear from around the country, they're not focused on ag issues at all. The only time that folks really feel concerned for agricultural issues is when there's no milk in the grocery store or when the price of beef has gone through the roof or they're in a restaurant and something is off the menu that they typically order. That's when they start paying attention. But our producers are so good that they work tirelessly and take hits over and over again, including deep into their own pockets to make sure that they're still delivering for the general public. What folks are focused on right now is the infrastructure bill, so-called infrastructure bill, this Biden blueprint to bankrupt America, which is, you know, the reconciliation package, and the debt ceiling. You know, people are focused on what's in the headlines, and unfortunately, agriculture is not a sexy issue that people really hone in on. So I appreciate you actually covering this today. But, you know, we have got to get members of Congress engaged on these issues, just not within the Ag Committee, but outside of the committee. I remember my first meeting in the Ag Committee many, many years ago. I had heard from a member from a more urban district say, I don't understand why we even have to have a farm bill. Why don't we import our food? And we all kind of looked around at each other like, is this guy serious? I mean, it works so well with oil, let me tell you. It's just... We have a lot of ignorant legislators that need to be educated. And this isn't from a place of anger. It's just frustration that so many of our producers around the country have felt. We've got to educate the legislators making the laws, and that will in turn trickle down. We have to put a premium on these critical infrastructures that give us the national security that we deserve, that we need, so that we can sleep at night. And agriculture is a huge part of that.
So when you say, lastly, to one of these persons that doesn't seem to have a clue, when you just start talking about how it's the brown cows that give chocolate milk and they nod as if you're being serious, that's how you know, isn't it?
You know, it's a lot of it is getting these folks out in the field. I remember maybe 2-3 years ago, we had a group of congressmen and women out in our district, and we took them out to a field and we pulled up some peanuts. And I got to tell you, it looked like Christmas morning for most of them because the first look on their face was total shock, then excitement, and they all collectively screamed, peanuts grow in the ground? Oh, my gosh. They were so excited to learn that. So, I mean, just basic information. Most members of Congress have never set foot on an operation, be it livestock or, you know, it could be a peanut field, it could be watermelons, it could be corn, it could be you name it. They've never had that experience. So it's about getting people out of Washington and into the fields, talking with producers who have lived this life, who are multi-generational operations. That's when they're really going to see front and center how much our producers do with so little and how they are able to continually survive. I mean, heck, we got a great country song, The Country Boy Will Survive.
Yes.
Because we continually adapt. And I think that if we had more people in agriculture in positions of leadership, people who grew up on operations, I myself grew up on a small cattle ranch out west, you know, we continually find ways to make it work. And that's just how you're raised. That's how you grow up. And quite frankly, I think Washington could use a little bit of that right now, that mindset and that that grit.
Boy, amen to that. Congresswoman, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it greatly and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you so much. Have a good one, Jeff.
You do the same now. Congresswoman Kat Kamick from Florida's 3rd Congressional District joining us on the Todd Starnes program. We're going to take a break now, and on the other side, we're going to tell you how you can help protect your own freedoms. That's next. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Show, Jeff Stein filling in. We must be near the end of the show. I just poured the last cup of coffee out of my thermos. This is how I measure things. So when the coffee ends, the show ends. It's been such a privilege to be here yesterday and today. Thanks to Kyle. Thanks to Grace for all their excellent work. Thanks to Todd Starnes for trusting me with this. And it is something that I take seriously each and every time I sit behind the microphone. Todd is working out in California. He'll be back on the program Monday. Jeff Katz will be here tomorrow. And Mr. Starnes has declared that this is a $1,000 Thursday. So I haven't checked, but I really hope you deliver so that he doesn't think less of me. We need at least three of you to be $1,000 Thursday donors to the Alliance Defending Freedom. Go to toddstarnes.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and make that tax-deductible donation. This program, and I heartily endorse this, this program is working hard all month to support the mission of this nonprofit Christian legal defense organization. You've heard the real-life stories of clients that got help from ADF when their rights were being threatened. Well, ADF works for someone else. You may not even know it. Take a look in the mirror. Yeah, they work for you. Because if they don't do their work, your rights are limited. And that's why this amazing letter from the Attorney General directing the FBI and U.S. Attorney's offices to declare that those who have the audacity to stand up for their children at school board meetings, Garland says they're domestic terrorists. No, they're freedom-loving parents who love their children and want them to be educated appropriately. Without indoctrination. ADF is leading the fight against this outrage. They've issued a letter. They're ready to take further action, but you need to help. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, ADF is fighting for your freedom. So please help Alliance Defending Freedom roll back this unconstitutional attempt to intimidate you into just rolling over and accepting this political agenda and limiting, clamping down, muzzling your right to speak against it. Now more than ever, you need Alliance Defending Freedom to be ready to help you. They have to be ready to act at a moment's notice. There's no time for a bake sale after your freedoms have been taken. So right now, please go to toddstarnes.com, click on the ADF banner, donate $100, donate $1,000 for $1,000 Thursday. Open your heart, open your wallet, and protect your freedoms by supporting the Alliance Defending Freedom. You can phone in your gift as well at 855-716-7461, toddstarnes.com, ADF banner, or 855-716-7461. Jeff Stein here from KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. What a great pleasure to be with you on the program. You can check out my work at my website, totallyiowa.com. Follow me on Twitter and Getter at Iowa Politics. ToddStarnes.com, Twitter and Getter at Todd Starnes. Thanks so much, America. Keep up the fight. Do not settle for any less than what you deserve. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.